All right, John chapter 6. Let's see what the Lord will enable us to learn from these verses tonight. John chapter 6. Let me read verse 28. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now my message begins with a question asked by some people who were temporarily impressed with the words of Christ. Temporarily impressed and temporarily aroused to inquire about communion with God and eternal life. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? But you notice this is the age-old question of natural men. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's their question. Most people believe that eternal life comes to those who earn it. They're ever occupied with their doings and with their deeds and works. Most people believe that they have to do certain works in order to earn God's favor and God's blessings. Most people want to make God the debtor instead of them. And they want to reckon the reward to be not of grace, but of works. The rich young ruler came to Christ in that way. Turn to Matthew 19. Let me show you. He's not the only one. There were others. That's what these people are asking. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? The rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That is God. He's the only one good. But now if you'll enter into life, keep the commandments. If you want something to do to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, Which? The Lord Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said, Well, all these have I kept from my youth up. I've done that. What else must I do? That's what these people are asking here in John 6, 28. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And our Lord, in verse 29, called them to a work they never heard of. He called them to a work they never even thought of. And that is faith. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered unto them, This is the work of God. You want to do the will of God and the work of God? That you believe on him whom God hath sent. That's the work of God. Believe Christ. Believe on him. Believe him. See, this is what separated these people from the disciples in this chapter. Stay in the same chapter, John 6, and turn to verse 66. Here's the difference. When all of these people, there were over 5,000 of them, when they walked away, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? Departed from Christ, the disciples stayed. They left, the disciples stayed. What was the difference? Here's the difference. John 6, verse 66, From that time, many of his disciples, his followers, this is not the 12, this is learners, followers, people came to hear him. They walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe. That's the difference. These people wanted to know what to do the works of God. Christ said, believe on him whom God had sent. And they left. But the disciples stayed because they were doing the work of God. They were believing on him. Listen as I go on. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe. And we're sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the difference. You see, Jesus Christ is God. Brother Charles Pennington told me that he was sitting in his office, in his home, in his study, last week, and the doorbell rang, and he went down, opened the door, and there was a lady standing there. Middle-aged lady. Had a Bible in her hands and tracts. She said, I'd like a few moments of your time. And he said, I started to say no because I just get weary of the conflict. But he said, come in. So she came in and sat down, and he sat down, and he said, now, what is it that you want to talk to me about? Well, she said, I want to talk to you about the Bible, about Jesus. He said, who's he? Well, she said, he's a man, but he's the Son of God. He said, how did he get to be the Son of God? Well, she said, God created him. In fact, she said, he's the first thing God created. Charles said, well, get that Bible and show that to me, where God created Jesus. He said, I can't do it. He said, well, now, he's a man. How'd he get to be the Son of God? I'm a man. I was born of a father, and I'm just like my father. I've got my father's nature. I've got my father's physical being and everything. Now, if he's the Son of God, he had to come from God. And he said, open your Bible there to John chapter 1. You open yours too. So she opened her Bible to John chapter 1. He said, read that 14th verse, John chapter 1. She read, and the Word was made flesh. Oh, the Word up in the top, he said, read that top. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And down here, and the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said her Bible was a little different, but it was enough that it wasn't any doubt about what that was saying. He said, now turn to Hebrews 8 and read. Hebrews 1, verse 8. So she turned over to Hebrews 1, verse 8. He said, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. Oh, he said, he is God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. He said, she actually began to tremble. And he said, now, according to what you're reading there, this Jesus is not just a man. He became a man, but he is God. Now, she says, I'll have to go home and study that. He said, would you promise to do that? She said, well, take my tract. He said, no, I don't want your tract. Now, that's written by man. I want you to go home and study what's written by God. Would you promise? She said, I'll get back to you. This is the work of God, that we believe on him whom God sent. God in human flesh. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Listen to Paul here in Acts chapter 20. Jesus Christ is God. Acts 20 verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who purchased it? God did. How? With his own blood. He became a man and shed his blood. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the gospel. The gospel is concerning his son, his person and work. Jesus Christ is life eternal. That's what I read over here in 1 John 5. It says here in verse 11, 1 John 5, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And all of these things, verse 13, are written that you who believe, that's the work of God, believe on Christ. And you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and keep on believing it. He is God. He is the gospel. He is life eternal. And he has become our salvation. I want you to turn to Psalm 118. We had this in the Sunday school class a few Sundays ago, and I took the time to dwell on this word just a little bit. In Psalm 118, verse 14. You know, I know the word Trinity is not in the Scripture. I hear that all the time. I hear people who do not believe in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, say Trinity is not in the Bible. The word itself may not be, but the truth is. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. When God said, let us make man, to whom was he speaking? Let us make man. To whom was he speaking? And here in verse 18 of Psalm 118, verse 14, Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He is, isn't he? He's my strength, he's my song, and he is become my salvation. He became flesh, he became a man, and in doing so, he became my salvation. Verse 18. Or rather, verse 21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. So this is what our master answered these people. They said, what shall we do to do the works of God? He said, this is the work of God. Do you believe? On him whom God hath sent. Let me read another scripture, John 3. It's so plain, so clear. In verse 34 of John 3, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God, and that's what we're required to believe on him whom God hath sent. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? The Master said, this is the work of God. You believe on him whom God has sent. I believe. Well, they didn't believe. With that clear declaration. So they came back in verse 30. Listen to this. They didn't believe him. They said therefore unto him, well, what sign showest thou? What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? This is strange. Considering these are the same people he just fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look back the day before, back here in John 6, verse 10. They didn't have anything to eat. And verse 9 says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, well, make the men sit down. Now, there's much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number by 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were all filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come. Yet they didn't believe it. I tell you the problem. Look at verse 30 and 31, John 6. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now listen to them. Note verse 31 carefully. This is what they're saying. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They still had in mind that earthly Jewish kingdom. They still had in mind setting up an earthly kingdom and continually taking care of them, like Moses did in the wilderness. That's what they're saying. They're saying Moses fed our fathers 40 years in the wilderness. Moses fed our fathers 40 years. They were exalting Moses. You just fed us once. That was yesterday. You fed us one time yesterday. Our fathers ate bread for 40 years in the wilderness supplied by Moses. We're interested in continual prosperity. We're interested in a real Jewish kingdom. And then listen to what our Lord said in verse 32. You're mistaken. He said, Jesus said to them, you're mistaken. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven. Moses gave not that bread from heaven. Didn't give your fathers that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You're mistaken. That bread from heaven was not given by any power or virtue on the part of Moses. It was my Father, not Moses, that gave that bread. And Moses said that. Turn to Exodus 16. Moses said that in Exodus 16, verse 15. In Exodus 16, 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it's manna. It's manna. And they wished not what it was. And Moses says, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. And this is a type of the true bread from heaven. That's what Christ is saying here. Back to our text. Verse 32, they said he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. That's the bread of God. That's the bread of God. Look at verse 49 and 50, what he said to them here. Your fathers did eat that manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, which a man may eat thereof and not die. They still didn't believe. They still didn't understand. Even after this, they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God. You believe on him whom God sent. But what sign showest thou? You fed us once. Moses fed our fathers 40 years. What sign? He said, Moses didn't give your fathers that bread. My Father gave them that bread.
This is the true bread that cometh down from heaven. It gives life. Your fathers ate that bread and died. Man eats this bread and lives forever. They still don't understand. Now watch the next statement. Then say they unto him, well, give us this bread. Lord, evermore give us this bread. What does that sound like? What does that remind you of? Well, turn to John 4. John chapter 4. This is what it reminds me of. They didn't know that our Lord was speaking of spiritual bread. That Old Testament manna was a type of Christ. And he was speaking of spiritual bread. And over here, the woman at the well in John 4, verse 13. John 4, 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. And again and again. This well, Jacob's well. Jacob gave him that well. He dug that well. They drank many years from that well. But he that drinks of this water thirst again. And he answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, give me this water, that I come not here to draw anymore. And that's exactly what these people here are thinking. Give us this bread that we won't hunger again. And our Lord answered. Now listen, verse 35, John 6, the Lord answered. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Did you ever study that manna? Let's go over there for a moment in Exodus 16 and look at this manna from heaven. Out there in the wilderness. And see how it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over here in Exodus 16, verse 13. Let's go back and read what the Lord said to Moses, verse 11. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I'm the Lord your God. And it came to pass at even that the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? That's what that question is. It is manna. Look in your margin. What is it? Oh, it is a portion. What is it? A strange, mysterious thing. Well, you know, when the angel came to Mary, we're talking about the bread from heaven now. I am that bread. When the angel came to Mary, he said, you'll have a son. And Mary said, I know not a man. I can't have a son. I don't have a husband. I know not a man. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing, nothing like it before, nothing like it since. That holy thing which is born of you shall be the Son of God. And this is a strange happening here. This is, everybody knows what a quail is. It flies in, they kill the quail and ate them. Plenty of just coveys of quail. But this is, they went out and there it was. So strange. Nobody ever seen anything like this before. Manna. And the second thing, it was prepared in heaven and sent down to earth. They didn't plow. They didn't plant. They didn't do anything. They went out. There it was. Prepared in heaven, sent to earth. Our Lord, talking about his body when he came into the world, he said, a body hast thou prepared me. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou any pleasure therein, but a body prepared. He came down.
Son of God. And then this bread was the gift of God. God gave it. They didn't pay for it. They didn't earn it. God gave it to them. And Christ is an unspeakable gift of God. And then this bread was for everybody that was hungry. And it was an ample supply. If you read through here, everybody had plenty. Nobody had too much. Nobody had too little. Everybody had plenty. Our Lord meets the need of his people. And then look at verse 31. Another thing about this matter, I believe it's verse 31. It's sweet to the taste. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Sweet to the taste. That's Christ. Strange. Prepared in heaven, sent to earth. The unspeakable gift of God. Meeting the full, complete need of hungry people. And sweet to the taste. And that's what he says in verse 35. I am the bread. The bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But still they didn't believe. Look at verse 36. But I said to you that you now see me, but you don't believe. Isn't this the way when we preach? They came and asked him, what shall we do? He said, to work the works of God, believe. They said, well, what sign showest thou? And then he told them. He said, I'm the bread. They still didn't believe. What manner of man is this? That's going through their minds. Well, let me tell you about him. One day the disciples were out on a ship with Christ, and he was lying back in the back of the ship asleep, and the waves began to dash the little ship, and the rain fell, and the storm, and lightning, and water. The ship started taking on water. And they went back and woke him up, and they said, don't you care if we perish? Master, don't you care if we perish? He said something about, oh, ye of little faith, wherein do you doubt? But he walked up to the bow of that little ship and said three words, peace be still. And the waves settled down. Sea became as glass. Clouds rolled back. The thunder stopped. The rain stopped. Peaceful. And one of them said, what manner of man is this? He's the God man. What manner of man is this that the waves and the winds obey his voice? This is God in human flesh. This is the work of God. You believe him. Receive him. You know, there's a lot of religious reformers and messiahs, but all of them come to earth. Let me show you the difference in these religious messiahs and our Lord. They all come to earth to live. He came to die for his people. All religious leaders leave monuments and memorials. They leave places where you can visit, their birthplaces and their churches. But our Lord Jesus Christ, you can't find his birthplace, you can't find his grave, you can't find one possession he owned while he walked this earth. All religious leaders choose their followers from the rich and the powerful and the influential. He chose the poor and the weak and the needy. All religious reformers and leaders praise human works and human righteousness. He condemned it. All religious reformers seek those who can help them. Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I came to minister, to give my life a ransom. He came to find whom he could help. All religious leaders and reformers promise success and happiness to their followers. Follow me. And you'll be happy and wealthy and wise and healthy, live a long time. Christ promised tribulation, suffering, and trial to his followers. All religious leaders hold their followers with force and fear and promise of reward. He turned to his disciples and said, "Will you go away? You're welcome to go away if you wish to." All religious leaders and reformers have great mansions and palaces and headquarters on this earth. He had no place to lay his head. All religious leaders and reformers reward the most talented of their people, of their followers. They give them titles. They give them honors. They give them recognition. He said to his disciples, if you want to be great, you become the least. He that's least among you is greatest in the kingdom of God. All the religious leaders and followers say one thing to their followers, follow me, follow me, and I'll show you the way. He said, you come to me, I am the way. All reformers and religious leaders claim to be the messengers of God. He said, I am God. I am God. I'm the bread of God. And all of them, when they die, they stay dead. You can visit their graves and find their bones. But he arose. And he said, because I live, you live. Well, they still didn't believe. Verse 36, I said to you, you've seen me. You've seen me. You've seen these very things that I've just read. You've seen me. You've seen me. And you and I have read these very things there. And don't believe. What are you waiting for? Why do men not believe? Well, verse 37, he says this, there's some who will believe, but it takes the power of God to make them willing. Listen to this, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. In him the world no beauty sees, no form, no comeliness. Rejected and despised is he. He died in deep distress. But there's a people taught of God who see his matchless worth. They own him as the Lord of Lords. They sing his praises for, I believe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see a reference there in your margin of your Bible, John 17:2. Turn to John 17:2 and let's see what that is. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. John 17:2. This is our Lord's priestly prayer. He says in John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Some people will believe. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. Let's read on a little bit before we quit. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, the bread from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. All will come. All which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that he that seeth the Son. What is it to see the Son? It's to see him not with these eyes, because back there in verse 36, he said to these people, you've seen me.
You've seen me. You've seen my works, but you don't believe. But this is to see Christ as the bread from heaven, as the life of God, as the Redeemer of sinners. It's to see Christ, and when you see him, you see he's God. The disciples said, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. To see Christ is to see God. To see Christ is to see his glory. To see Christ is to see our sins. That's what Isaiah saw. He said, when I saw the Lord high and lifted up, I saw myself. I said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. We see Christ. Let's read on. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, spiritual life, the water of life, the door, the way, the truth, the life, our resurrection and life, our hope, and believes on him, and believes who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now, may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. They still didn't believe. Isn't this amazing? Sometimes we, and you, I preach, or you talk to a friend or a relative, and you show them these things. It's what our Lord's showing these people, who he is. Those types and pictures. And Christ, the fulfillment of all the scriptures. There's no way to interpret this book except in the light of Christ, Jesus the Lord. And we get awful upset. Well, why can't you see this? These people here are listening to the Son of God. These people here are listening to the Son of God. God himself in human flesh. And they said, what sign you show? Then they began to murmur because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Well, we know his mother and father. We know his brothers and sisters. How is he saith, I came down from heaven? That's exactly what he asked those Pharisees. He said, how can the Messiah be David's Lord and David's son? That's exactly what he asked. Because he came down from heaven. God sent him. Born of a virgin, made flesh. That they still didn't believe. So he's got another word to say. And he answered them and said, do you no good to murmur among yourselves? Your murmuring and opposition is not going to shake the kingdom of God. It's not going to frustrate the purpose of God. Not going to change the will of God. And no use murmuring among yourselves. No man, whatever his intellect, background, heritage, wisdom, no man has the ability, nor even the desire, or the will. No man can. It's impossible. They say, who can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible. No man can. Come to me. Coming to Christ is believing on him. Coming to Christ is receiving him. Coming to Christ is to admit who he is. No man can come to me except, now here's except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him. Like drawing in a net or drawing in a fish you've caught, or wooing, or drawing a person to you. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Now here is that drawing. Listen to the next line. It is written in the prophets. It's written in the scripture in Isaiah 54:13. And they shall be all taught of God. What does God teach? Teaches his word. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. God teaches them by his Spirit. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of my Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he that which is of God. That's Christ. He's seen the Father. And here I'll remind you again, here's the work of God. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Why? I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Let God make it clear and plain to us. Teach Christ to us. All right, let's sing number 337. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Number 337.